Welcome this evening. Amen. Welcome to those who are watching virtually online. We thank you so much for being a part of the service tonight. You know, it's interesting, since we started teaching out of Thessalonians, our Wednesday nights have doubled the viewership. We have a lot of people checking out what's going on Wednesday night. All right, and so we thank you so much. We have handouts, so if you would be so kind, lift up a hand. And so online, if you want a handout, we can send one to you. Just let us know. And this is an important subject. We want you to go back and study it and receive more from it, from the Lord, and your studies with the Word and the Holy Spirit. So receive from Jesus tonight. Amen. Praise God. Everybody wants to know what's coming up, what's going to happen next, or what's going to be going on. So tonight we're talking about the rapture. Next Wednesday night, we're going to be talking about the end times. So give many of you refreshers, but also fresh revelation as the Lord imparts it to you. So you ready to receive the word tonight? All right. So our subject tonight is the rapture, the comfort of his coming. The comfort of his coming. All right. And then, of course, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we pick up where we left off last time, in verse 13, New King James Bible. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. That means to be uninformed or not to know. It doesn't mean you're dumb or stupid. It just means you're uninformed or you don't know. So he doesn't want us to be ignorant about what? Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope when they leave this earth, when they go by the way of the grave. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord. So this is not, he's not making this up or dreaming this up or drumming this up. This is coming from the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Underline or circle that phrase, caught up. That's where we get the word rapture from. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, out of these six profound verses, we get a glimpse into a progressive revelation about the rapture and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is included in the first resurrection doctrine. Now, the rapture of the church gives us five fundamental facts that I want to give you out of these verses that you need to embrace. Now, first, we're going to read it out of the New Living Translation. So we'll put it in the New Living Translation and just kind of get a different angle on it. So it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, he's talking to Christians, we want you to know what will happen to believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. We've all been to those funerals. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, how many believers we have in the house? We also believe that when Jesus returns, he will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from who? So Paul's not making this up. A man's not making this up. The Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Three things that's going to be happening when Jesus returns to take his church back. And the trump call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up. Again, remember, highlight that, those two words. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Verse 18. So encourage each other with these words. We just read in the New King James to comfort one another. So you need to comfort one another that the Lord is coming soon. So let's get the backstory again. The believers in Thessalonica were concerned about their loved ones who had died. Remember, this church was being persecuted, so people didn't live as long as they do now. What if the Lord should return? Would their deceased loved ones be handicapped in any way? Will those who are alive at his coming have an advantage over the believers who have died? These are some of the questions that perhaps came up. But Paul, by the Holy Spirit, answers their questions based his encouragement and comfort on five fundamental facts. Now, out of these scriptures, out of these six verses, number one, fact number one, revelation. Everybody say revelation. We have God's word. He said it in verse 15. He solved the problem when he wrote, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." This comes from the Lord, directly from the Lord. There's a lot of debate and a lot of discussion about the rapture. Is it going to happen? When it's going to happen? But the Lord said specifically when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about a date per se, but a season and a time in God's timetable. So we as Christians need not to wonder about death or life after death. For we have a revelation from God in his word. Can I have an amen to that? So it is important that the revelation concerning death and the afterlife was not given all at one time, because you have to put the pieces together through the word. We must keep in mind God's revelation was gradual and progressive, and that it climaxed in the coming of Jesus Christ. So what are we building up to? What are all the signs about the coming of Jesus Christ? 2 Timothy 2:10 says this in the NASB, New American Standard Bible. It says, "Who abolished death and brought life and immortality." What did Jesus come to give us? Life. But he also gave us what? Immortality, which is eternal life. You never die. He said, "Believes in him will never die." I mean, you will never experience dead and gone and ceasing to exist. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Fact number two, return. Christ is coming again. We always say the four squares of the gospel is Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again from the dead, and Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back. Amen. Thessalonian letters, Paul relates Christ's return. We read it in chapter 1, to salvation. 1 Thessalonians 1:9-10. Secondly, we revealed in chapter 2 his return. He related Christ's return to our service. So we should be working like he's coming tomorrow. We should be serving him bigger and better and broader today, because any day now, any moment, he's coming. So our salvation should be one where we're walking in that salvation, growing in our salvation, working out our salvation to be acceptable to the Lord when he comes. You shouldn't be slacking about that. You shouldn't be slacking about your service, dealing with your time, your talent, your treasure, your testimony, without hesitation, reservation, limitation. Should be bigger, better. You should be serving up, stepping up. So he related that in chapter 2. And number 3, he related Christ's return to stability. With the world being so unstable and the culture being so radical and unstable around us, we should be stable, more stable as Christians. Every one of us should be able to count on each other being more stable and strong during these last and evil days. It's unfortunate that sometimes Christians become unstable, which means, just simply means, they've become immature. They've refused to grow up. And you got some that just want to go up. And unfortunately, you got some that just blow up. What happened to you? You just blew up and blew out. You broke down. Now, those things happen. We're not judging anybody. But God is saying we should grow up. We should become more stable and grow deeper and wider roots in the gospel, in what we believe, in our faith, in our focus, and in our faithfulness. We should be stable. Everybody say stability. All right, that's number 3. That's in chapter 3. So in this chapter and section of scripture we just read by the Holy Spirit, Paul relates to sorrow. If you hadn't noticed, some people make it a habit. It's not a good habit. It's a bad habit of walking around grieving and sorrowing because of loss. I lost money. I lost my privileges. I lost this. I lost that. And more in context, people say, well, I lost my family member, my loved one. And they let that trip them up, not realizing you're acting just like the world acts when they lose stuff. You don't need to be sorrowing like that. All right. So, and he showed how the doctrine of Christ's return can comfort the brokenhearted. So let's receive comfort tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Paul, by the Holy Spirit, applied the word sleep to those believers who had died. Now, it's very interesting he did that, because he said they're not ceasing to exist. They sleep. Paul was careful to state that Jesus died. If we believe that Jesus died, it's in those scriptures. Verse 14, died and rose again. He didn't say Jesus slept. He said Jesus died. The word sleep is not applied to his or Christ's experience. It's because he died and we need not to fear death. He died our, what, death. He went to death, hell, and the grave for us in our place. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You know, as a pastor, I've done a few funerals, but some people get really shooken up because either they doubt or they don't know where that person's gone. But you can't let that sorrow and grief or that fear get in you. You got to be the one, the beacon of hope. And there's nothing wrong to cry. There's nothing wrong to shed tears and feel sad that they're gone. But to do it for weeks and get stuck into a place what we call the swamp in psychology. A swamp of sorrow and brokenness. I mean, you got people who claim to be Christians. Again, I don't know where they stand with Jesus and stand with the Lord. But they'll visit the gravesite of their lost loved ones. You say, well, don't touch that, Pastor. Well, no. But you got to realize, what are you doing? If they're a Christian, a born-again, blood-washed believer, come on, where are they? Everybody say it with me, sleep in Jesus. That's what he said. Jesus said himself, he told Paul himself, the word of the Lord came to Paul saying that those who sleep in Jesus, God's going to come get them first. Part of his returning to us is he returning for them. Amen, because they're asleep in Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Fact number three, resurrection. Everybody say resurrection. Christian dead will rise. Now, questions come up about, what age will I be? What will I look like? Well, 1 Corinthians 15, you can go back and study that on your own, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, outlines what happens. You're sown in corruption, but you raised in corruption. That means your body is dying, it's decayed. Maybe it's destroyed, perhaps by an accident or a car accident or a tragedy of some sort, sickness. He said you go down, but he uses it as a seed that you plant. A seed's not very pretty, particularly a flower seed. But he relates it and correlates it to like a flower. You plant a seed that looks ugly in the earth. There's no form or comeliness to it. It's just a piece of husk, right? But he said it's raised in glory and beauty. Praise the Lord! Are you listening to me? So those who died in Jesus, Christians dead, will rise up. So Jesus is not trying to reconstruct you when you rise. You're just like a flower. He puts the seed in the ground. It may look all wrinkled up and crumpled up, and ain't nothing to this thing. But when it comes up, it's like a flower. It's called resurrection, not reconstruction. Some people ask, well, what happens when you get cremated? Because we get people in my insurance appointments. Oh, they're going to cremate. Just put me in the backyard. Well, they're a believer. You're going to get a new body. And some people make a big to-do. I want all this elaborate stuff. The casket, the car, everything. All this pomp and circumstances. I'm like, they're not there. They're gone. The Christian dead will rise up again, and they will have glorified bodies, not reconstructed bodies. Somebody say resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because some people think all the little flaws going to come back that I had when I was here. No. You're raised in beauty and raised in glory. You're going to be a perfect size, perfect weight, perfect hair, perfect age. You ain't going to have no flaws. You're not going to need glasses. Crutches. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You might have seen your relatives that have gone on in walkers and wheelchairs or canes or even bed fast for a few months or a few weeks before they they went. And it's always kind of a horrifying or not necessarily a good thing to see them suffer like that toward the end of their life. Is anybody here with me? But how are you going to see them? Not with canes, not walkers again anymore. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Not with teeth missing or rotten teeth or false teeth. All right, fact number four. Everybody with me? All right, rapture. So the first fact is revelation. The second fact is return. Christ is coming again. First fact, revelation, we have God's truth. We have a word of the Lord about this. We have resurrection. Fact three, Christ, the Christian dead will rise. And fact four, rapture. The living believers are caught up. Everybody say caught up. Look at verse 17 again. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with who? So this Latin word for caught up means to seize or carry off. From we get the English word rapture. It's rapto. So the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the word caught up or come up is in the Bible. And Revelation's come up. And so that's the same theme or same intention. Praise God. So we're going to get caught up. Now, anybody tell me how fast it is? It's caught up. The twinkling of an eye. In a moment. Twinkling of an eye. Everybody say, that's really fast. They say the twinkling of an eye is GE measured at one time. It was 1/11,000 of a second. 11,000 of a second. Everybody say, that's fast. We will be changed or transfigured or transformed. Because, like I said, if we travel that fast with this body, we'd be all puking, throwing up, eye socket, the eyes would draw back in our socket. Everybody say, Jesus can do it. He can transform us that quick. We'll be caught up that quick. Praise the Lord. The last fact that I want to share with you is reunion. Reunion. Everybody say reunion. Christians will live forever with the Lord. So we will have a meeting. Where are we going to meet the Lord? He said we will meet him in the air. Now, it will be physical, literal, visible, meeting the Lord. In the air. It will be a glorious meeting because we will have glorified bodies. It will be an everlasting meeting because we will ever be with the Lord. Now, we'll talk about in a minute the difference between the second coming and the rapture, and some there's some argument. There's no rapture, it's just the second coming. I tend to disagree. I'm just going to lay it out for you, the biblical facts. But there is a rapture that's going to occur. The church is going to get caught up. Amen. The dead in Christ are going to be raised up, resurrected, and those who are still living will get caught up. Isn't that good? All right, so the rapture of the church, I want to submit to you, is in two phases. The Lord, Jesus Christ our Lord, will come back in the same manner and he went. We see that indicated in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. He said, men of Galilee, they said, why are you, the angels were talking to him, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Everybody say the same way. So he was raised up and lifted up and exalted. At his exaltation, he was carried up in a cloud. But he had a glorified, resurrected body, and he was visibly seen by the disciples. And it says, the Bible says, he's going to come back the same way. So he went in a cloud, and we will meet him in the cloud, because it says he's going to meet him in the clouds. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And that says in verse 17, we caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Anybody ever fly in an airplane? You see the clouds, they look so beautiful. You know we're going to meet the Lord way up there? Come on, y'all. Y'all got to see this. This is comforting. I'm afraid of heights. No, you won't be afraid then. All that fear will be out of you. Amen. You won't need a doggy bag because it's too high. I'm going to vomit. You know, I know some people have a little fear of flying. But you'll meet him in the clouds, and he will return in a cloud. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 16, 17. Let's look at it again. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in where? Everybody say the clouds. The clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord how long? Forever. We're never going to leave his side. Revelation 1:7. Look, he comes in with the clouds of heaven. And everyone will see him, and those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes and amen. So the rapture of the church will be twofold, the resurrection of the dead in Christ, as we said earlier, and the translation of the living saints. We're going to be translated or transformed into new bodies. Now, I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians 15 to show you this in the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. Everybody say there's comfort in his coming. Amen. Amen. Verse 51, it says this. All right, listen to this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. This is not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. It's revelation. We shall not all sleep. There's that word again. But we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at 1/11,000th of a second, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised, how? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, how many of you know that the TV shows and even the Marvel DC renditions all try to portray some symbol of immortality or defying death. So this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality. Then we shall be brought to pass that saying, what is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, be steadfast because of this. Be steadfast. Stability. Unmovable. Don't move away from your position of faith and your position of victory in Christ. Don't move back to be like the world. Always what? Abounding in whose work? The work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain. Where? In the Lord. So you want to use up most of your time doing things for the Lord. Doing things in and through the Lord's hand and the Lord's help in your life. So don't waste time. I know those shows are attractive. Social media is alluring, but we only got a little bit of time left because Jesus is coming back soon, right? We got to do what the Lord wants us to do. Praise the Lord. Now, Philippians says this, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. But we are citizens where? Of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. And he will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into who? Glorious bodies like his own. Now, what did Jesus demonstrate in the earth when he had on his glorified body? Well, he walked through walls. I mean, your molecular structure can change to a point to where you can just zoop through walls. Amen. Hallelujah. No flaws, right? Definitely no flaws in that. Change glory body like his own, using the same power in which he will bring everything under his control. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. Now, the rapture of the church, again, just to give you the full concept of it, the rapture of the church, I suggest and submit to you, is, according to the scriptures, will be a surprise and elective. Unlike the second coming that has all these signs, the rapture will be a surprise and elective. Now, let's turn to Matthew 24, Matthew chapter 24. Y'all getting something out of this today? Matthew chapter 24, it says here in verse 42 and 44. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. These are Jesus' words, 42 through 44. Let me start at verse 40. Let me just start at verse 40. I'll start at verse 40. Verse 40. 44. Therefore, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Now, was Jesus making up stuff? Two women will be grinding in the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Now, where are they going? Where have they been taken to? What did he say? Verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. He's talking to his disciples, his followers. We're supposed to be watching. We're not supposed to be asleep, sleep at the wheel, so to speak. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come. Now, why does he use that word? Because that's how he comes. A thief is not going to announce to you, I'm coming in to steal something valuable from your house. Is he? Because you would know. So he wants us to have that mentality and understanding to watch, because Jesus is coming like a thief. It's going to be a surprise. That the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Look at verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready. Everybody say, be ready. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. When's he coming? When we don't expect him. But what's our responsibility? Everybody say it with me. Be ready. Everybody say it again. Be ready. Are you ready? See, the time to be ready is not the same time to get ready. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. Look at this. Now, concerning how and when this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord return will be unexpectedly, like a thief, who? In the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. And there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a... How's it going to come? Like a thief. I remember we used to watch... We're watching that show, Miss Congeniality. Anybody ever seen that movie? And you remember the first one when she was in a beauty contest. You know, the FBI agent was in a beauty contest. Everybody was saying, you know, what do you wish to do at the, you know, when you become Miss America or Miss USA, I think. Was it Miss America? I think Miss America. And everybody said, world peace. World peace. What are they still crying today? World peace. They're telling Israel even now, don't fight for your land. Don't fight for your freedom. Let's have a peace accord. There's so much chaos and craziness. Everybody's saying, well, let's have peace. But who's the Prince of Peace? He's the Prince of Peace. It's not going to be peace until he comes back. Are y'all listening to me? What's our job? What did he say? Watch. Be ready. So wisdom to watch tells us to stay awake, stay attentive, not to what the news is saying or the noise is hollering or what the narrative is conveying. Be attentive to what the Lord's doing and the Lord wants you to do. Be alert to the Spirit. Be alert to the will of God and the way of God that you need to flow in and grow in this hour, this season. Amen? And be ready. Everybody say, be ready. Be ready orders from the, let's look at this from the parable of the 10 virgins. We got to be ready. Where am I going? Matthew 25. Okay, next chapter. All right. You ready? Chapter 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. I believe this refers to those that miss being ready versus the ones who were wise enough to be ready. Listen to this. The 10 virgins who took out their lamps went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. That's an important task, is to walk around and not forget the Holy Spirit. What are we saying on Sunday morning? Every church is hearing the same three things. Be a listening church. Right? He that hath a ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So all of us should be listening. And we're hearing a lot of noise. And sometimes we listen to news before we listen to him. Or we listen to what somebody says on a notification or a breaking news notification or email or a pop-up notification through social media. And you're listening to that before you're listening to him. Don't be foolish. Is that good? He said, they took no oil with them. That's the anointing. It symbolizes the anointing, the Holy Spirit. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Their light was their Christian witness and influence. That's what the lamp stands for. You need the Holy Spirit to keep your Christian witness and influence in these last and evil days. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We just talked about during pre-service prayer about you need to say things, and because he's not only your helper, he's your partner in life. He's a business partner. He is your, he has responsibility for you to keep your oil lit, your lamp lit, and burning bright in a dark, dark world. Amen. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, the cry was heard. Notice all this nighttime stuff. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answer says, no, lest there should be not enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. They weren't ready. And while he came, when they went to buy, the bridegroom came and those who were ready, those who were ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Now we'll learn next week, the next event after the rapture for Christians who are ready in rapture. I call it rapture ready. Stay rapture ready. Is the marriage, of course, the judgment seat of Christ, but the marriage supper of the Lamb will happen in heaven. He's given us a forecast. Some are not going to be ready. Some are. Door was shut. Afterwards, the other version came also saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But they answered and said, surely I said to you, I don't know you. What's the summary statement? Verse 13. Watch, therefore. Stay awake. Be attentive. Be alert. For you know neither the day nor hour which the Son of Man is coming. See, like the ten virgins, I submit to you, we will be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 9:19 says, and he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Revelation 19:9. We must be ready. We must stay ready. We see from these scripture exhortations, when the Christ comes back, it will be when we are not expecting him. He will come as a thief comes. A thief, as we said earlier, does not announce his coming. He doesn't put a bullhorn and says, I'm coming to rob you tonight. And when a thief comes into your house or breaks into your car or whatever the case may be, they don't take things that are invaluable. So the Lord's getting us a concept to think about. What's he coming for? What's valuable? What's valuable to the Lord? His church. His people. That's why he said in the chapter before, two people will be in the field. One's taken, the other's left. What is he giving as a concept of? I'm taking the ones who are valuable, redeemed by the blood, who've received Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. Not people playing church or playing religion. He said, you must be born again. Amen. You got to be a child of God and you got to be a devoted Christian. So that's the standard. That's the expectation from the Lord. Amen. Two women in the house, two people in the bed. Somebody goes up, gets taken, somebody stays, gets left. But he's just giving us a concept. He's not. He's giving us an idea, a perception of that reality. When he comes, it's going to be like a thief, taking the valuable things out of the house or out of the field or out of the car or out of the airplane. Many of us seen those left behind stories, right? Somebody's going to be left behind because a lot of people are going to go through the tribulation period. Everybody good? I'm not getting quiet in here. All right, Revelation 16:17. Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. How many times have we seen this? Blessed are all those who are watching for me. Those that are watching for me, not watching for other stuff. I'm sorry, we pray for them, but, you know, our president and perhaps the Republican candidate will be Trump again, but they're not the big news that we need to be watching for. We need to be watching for Jesus. He said, blessed are all who are watching for me and who keep their clothing, what? Ready, so that they won't have to walk around naked and ashamed. The righteous clothes, the armor of God. Amen. The rapture of the church will be elective. It will not only separate the saints from unbelievers and sinners, but it'll separate husbands from wives, brothers and sisters, friends from friends. Luke 17:34-35. That night, two people will be asleep in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour together in the mill. One will be taken, the other left. What is he telling us? The rapture of the church will be the most startling event of this age and dispensation. Because a lot of people are going to come up missing. Behold, 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Behold, I should tell you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we should all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Somebody say, praise God, we'll be changed. Now, how many believe for sure that Jesus is coming back? Now, I believe it's in two parts. Again, that's why there's a lot of dispute and debate over it. I believe the Bible teaches us there's two. He's coming back to the air to take away the church. Then he's coming back to the earth to establish his kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years. We'll pick that up next week. But let's look at this. Let's look at this. If you guys can put the presentation up, we're ready for that now. And this, I didn't put it on the CCB, but I'll put it up there. But this presentation here. Everybody good? All right. So as they get ready to put it, I don't know what this is. Oh, that's the wall. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, next slide, guys. So I know it's a busy slide, but this is from Dr. Clarence Larkin. I like his artwork and his illustrations, so just bear with me here. But when Jesus came, he came to die for our sins. That's why there's a doctrine of the resurrection of dead and eternal judgments. So we see five major judgments happening here. Judgment number one at the cross. He came to die. Amen. And, of course, the resurrection of Christ and the first fruit saints, you know, and then eventually the church will be raptured up and then the judgment seat of Christ will occur in heaven. On earth, it'll start the Great Tribulation, which is the third judgment, the judgment of the Jews. And so you see during the resurrection of the saints who are died, the translation of the saints who are alive, right here. Very illustrative here. So this will be a 7-year period. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. So that'll be tribulation as we've not seen or heard about. We see it in Revelations, but people won't realize it until it actually happens. Then there's the judgment of nations when Jesus comes back. Sheep nations, goat nations. Jesus is going to straighten all this up. All these nations fighting against each other. And then, of course, the last judgment, major judgment, is the great right throne. This is the wicked dead or the unredeemed people who didn't receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the resurrection of the unjust and resurrection of damnation. So everybody's going to experience the resurrection, but we said it in our Sunday teaching that it says, blessed are those who make the first resurrection. So evil and wicked people are in prison right now in Hades, or what we call a holding cell in hell. And then their final judgment will be the lake of fire. All right, next slide. And, of course, this is, shows Jesus' first coming. Came as a prophet, came as a lamb to be slain for our justification. He's now in present day priestly ministry. We, the church, are under the guise of sanctification. We talked about that several weeks ago. So we all should be in the process and making progress in our holiness and sanctification and honor. Somebody say, praise the Lord, because we want to what? Not only be ready, or get ready, be ready, and stay ready, but stay watchful. Be attentive, be alert, because what is coming next? Jesus, as our great high priest now, is coming back as King and Lord. That's his second coming. And then he'll have his kingly kingdom, and it's going to be for 1,000 years. Now, he won't get voted out, and he won't have an election. Praise God. So eventually, coming soon, Jesus will run the world. Now, some people throw the idea of globalism out, but yeah, that idea that man made up is horrible. It's from the pit of hell. But heaven has an idea of globalism. It's going to be done through the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. It's going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So that's going to be the ultimate theocracy. Jesus is going to run the whole world. Now, what we do now and how faithful we are now will determine where and what we reign and rule over then. So every one of us should be working for those crowns, that reward. The best reward is to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, you don't get that for just coming to church. I'm sad to report that to you. You get that for being the church and building his church, like he said. Praise the Lord. Next slide. Thank you, guys. So, I again, believing in two phases. The first phase is a rapture. We just read that tonight. Jesus appears in the air. The second phase is when he returns, he comes to the earth. Jesus returns in secret like a thief. Here he comes openly, because every eye, it says in Revelation, will see him. And the earth people in the earth will mourn because of him. They say, oh, he is real. And they're not going to feel good because he's coming back. Everybody say he's coming back. In the rapture, he returns for his church. In Jesus' return in Revelation 19, we see him returning with the church. We're coming back with Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And he comes as a bridegroom. He comes as a king. In the rapture, he said, at the bridegroom, when we read the parable of the 10 virgins, right? I believe that's indicative of the rapture. Symbolic and indicative of the rapture. We're going to a marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. You know how sometimes people, they get these wedding shows and they say, it was too long. Well, you're going to be in heaven for a while. 7 years. Part of it's judgment. Rewards. That's for Christians. Rewards for what you did in Christ, not in the flesh. In Christ, you're going to lose rewards for doing stuff in the flesh. But you get rewards and get your crown if you earn that crown. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. And then you'll go to the marriage supper. Could you imagine the food that's going to be there? Ain't nobody going to be complaining about this. These hors d'oeuvres are cold. You can peek behind the kitchen and see the angels cooking, just like they did for Elijah. They've been making heavenly angel food. That's who was carrying down the manna that we've been reading about in Exodus. He put manna. We're going to have some good food. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Jesus came as a deliverer. He's coming as a warrior and a judge when he comes back. So I'm just showing you the difference between and the distinction between the two. I believe it's two phases. There's some theory and thoughts out there that the rapture doesn't exist. He only comes back. But that means the church has to go through the tribulation period with everybody else. Now, some people go to the extreme and they look at it from an escape theology standpoint. And escape theology is bad theology. God says we're not escaping all persecution or suffering. We have to suffer for Jesus while we're here on the earth. While we're doing his will and doing his work, we do will suffer. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. So you got to be questioning, okay, am I living godly? So if everybody's quiet and you're trying to get everybody to like you and not say anything ugly to you, then you might check whether I'm doing my job or not. Because not everybody was happy with the Thessalonian church and any of the other churches who stood firm for the Lord. We just talked about Polycarp, and we talked about Antipas last Sunday, who were martyred because they wouldn't say Caesar is Lord. Are y'all here? All right, so Jesus comes with grace. Jesus comes with wrath and grace. His second coming. He delivers church from wrath. Jesus delivers believers of the tribulation who endured wrath. So forth and so on. Let's go to the last slide and we'll wrap this up. Everybody getting something out of this? Thank you, Lord. So at the rapture is a stealth event witnessed by believers only. We're going to be the one meeting the Lord. Everybody's not going to see him because his clouds are real high up. So we're going to meet him where? Way up there. Second coming, he's coming to the earth, so everybody's going to see him. Amen. He's coming to take his bride, to take her to heaven. That's us. He's the bridegroom. And then, of course, he's returning with his bride, the church, to set up his thousand-year kingdom. And I believe that the rapture occurs at the beginning of the tribulation. The second coming will occur at the end of tribulation. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. You can conclude it there. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glorify your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the holy name of God. Would you stand with me, please? Now, go back and read the scriptures. Let it get sealed in your heart. Let it get settled into your spirit so that you can have a firm, established focus on what the Lord said, not what everybody else is saying. Amen? Everybody good? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your goodness tonight. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Father God, for giving us a glimpse into a glorious future we have and comfort of the assurance that we have in Jesus. We give you all the praise, all of the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Say, God bless you, Pastor Cynthia, as she comes. Amen.